My name is Dory. I'm 13 years old. Today is November 24th, 2018. I'm speaking with Fred Banks, who is my grandfather, and we're recording this in Eugene, Oregon. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Well, I was usually pretty happy. It was, you know, back in the old days when things were tough and you didn't have anything to get excited about except something to eat. And food was hard to come by. I know my dad had to have two different jobs just to put food on the table. We had five kids and mom and dad, and that kept him pretty busy. But, it was just get in and do what you have to do to survive, and it was a good life.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Oh, I think it was probably when your Uncle Michael passed away.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
It was pretty traumatic. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to happen, but there's nothing we could do about it.
Yeah. Of the people you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most, and what is it about them that you miss?
Well, I think it's probably my mother. Mm-hmm. You could always have a question, you could call her up and ask her, and she'd always have a good answer for you. And you know how mothers are, they know everything, so they can handle everything.
What are you the proudest of, both professionally and personally, in your life?
Well, I think we had a very good marriage, and we have good, honest kids, and I think that the good marriage is something that we've married 60 years, so
yeah,
that's something to brag about.
Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
Well, shortly after we got married, we bought a freezer, and they came into the house and said, "Oh, we'll cook you a dinner and everything," and they cooked us a nice steak dinner and all the trimmings, and said, "Now see, this came right out of our freezer, so you see how good it is." And we bought a big Carrier freezer, Carrier brand name, and that was one of the dumbest things I ever did.
Did you get sick?
It was just we just had been married a short time and money was awful tight, and we shouldn't have spent it.
Freezer. Is there anything you want to tell me now that you've never told me before?
Well, I don't know what it'd be. I remember your mother and her sister were playing out in the snow in the front yard, and the newspaper man drove by and he took their picture, so their picture was on the front page of the paper.
Aww.
That was pretty fun to hear about.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, as a nice person, generous most of the time, and somebody that tried to help other people, and you know, just like everybody wants to be a hero.
Yeah. Who was your first love?
Oh, Lordy. I can't remember her name now. I think it has to be a girl named Dorothy down in Burbank, California. And her daddy was a a big wheel at Lockheed Aircraft Company.
Ooh.
And, she was, well, you know, fifth grade, all the girls were cute then.
Yeah.
That's just, I think that's probably the first one I was interested in.
How did you meet Grandma?
In church. We formed the Young People's Club, and I think I was the president and she was the secretary. And then I'd go over to her house to pick her up to take her to the Young People's meeting. And we had about 40 people in the club. And then we graduated up into the adult choir at the church, which was quite something because we weren't adults. We were still in school, kids in school. And but we were welcomed with open arms because we both had singing voices at that time. And it just grew from there. Of all the people that in the Young People's Club, the year we got married in 1958, we were the first couple to get engaged. And I think six or eight other couples got engaged, and they all got married before we did. So we, that was a pretty exciting year.
Yeah. Describe your first date with Grandma.
Oh.
Did you guys go on, like, dates?
Yeah, we did. I think the first time we really went out, we went to a drive-in movie theater out on Highway 99 out there, and it was, I can't remember the name of the movie now. Well, it's life.
Yeah.
It was a drive-in movie date.
Ah. Can you tell me the story of how you got engaged?
Yeah, she kept saying no, no. And then when she finally said yes, I didn't know what to say. Yeah, it was quite exciting.
Can you tell me about your wedding day and your honeymoon?
Well, another couple got married the hour before we did. So we joined them in purchasing the flowers and everything. And so they had the flowers for their wedding, and we had them for our wedding. It was an hour later. And I was standing at the front of the church with my best man, and Lois and her dad walked up the aisle, and we met at the altar, and we turned around, and Mass was getting ready to start, and all of a sudden the whole entire adult choir started singing. We didn't know that was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And so it was pretty exciting there because, you know, the adult choir was, this was on a Saturday and they didn't have to be there. So it was kind of neat.
That's really cool. Where did you go for your honeymoon?
San Francisco. We drove to Eugene to Florence, and just south of Florence on I can't remember the name of the lake. Anyhow, I was selling restaurant goods, and there was a restaurant at the south end of this lake, and the lady that owned it called me Bill Bailey, because that's the only name she could remember. And when I told them that we were getting married, she says, well, here's for Bill Bailey and his new bride, anything from soup to nuts. So we had a beautiful steak dinner that night at the restaurant, and it was a gift from them. And then we drove on down to Coos Bay. And that's where we spent our first night and went to church the next morning, and then we headed for San Francisco down the Coast Highway. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day. the night before we got married, it rained like crazy. And on the morning of our wedding, it was a beautiful, bright, sunshiny day, and everything, the air was clean, and it was really exciting to see what happens.
Yeah. Share a favorite story about Grandma.
Oh, Lordy.
You've got quite a few.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to pick them out. Well, I don't know. I think it was, we did a lot of traveling, and we had a little RV trailer, and we were going up into Canada, and we were going through this park, and Lois says, "Oh, look, there's a bear. Follow it." So I drove down the road, and the bear started across a little bridge or something, and so I stopped, and Lois jumped out of the car, truck, and was chasing the bear with her camera. Well, she got back in with no problem, and she had a picture of the bear.
You think she still has that picture?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Probably not.
Can you tell me about when you found out you were going to be a father? Do you remember the moment you first saw my uncle or my mother or my aunt or any of them and how it made you feel?
That would have been your Uncle Michael. And, of course, in those days, you didn't know what you were going to get until you got it. And he was our firstborn, and so that was pretty proud moment. Lois was up in the hospital, and her mother was up there, and so we went to get a snack or something at a restaurant across the street, and when we were coming back, we came up off the elevator, and just as the door opened, we heard Michael cry, "Wah!" That was pretty exciting to know that it was him, but
yeah.
Alive and well.
So, did you have a nickname either when you were a kid or when you were younger? And how did you get the nickname, if you had one?
Well, yeah, I had they called me Fatty, Fatso, because I was big, really big in the eighth grade. Everybody had some kind of a nickname, and it just was okay, you know.
Yeah.
I was big, so I knew it, and it wasn't a put down like some things are today.
Yeah.
It was a buddy name.
Oh.
It was just a small circle of friends that everybody had a name.
Yeah, just kind of joking around.
Yeah.
What was your relationship like with your parents when you were younger?
I'd say all of us kids had a good relationship. In those days, they says, "Do this," and you did it. You know, there was no question. Mom said that, or Dad said that, and if you did what you're supposed to do, you got a pat on the head, and if you didn't, you got a pat on the other end. Several of them.
Tell me about your siblings. Were you close with any of them?
Well, we had, let's see. Addie was the oldest. She's about 9 years older than me. And then Gail, she's about 2 years older than me. And Ann was 2 years younger. And Carolyn was 4 years younger. I was the only boy with four sisters, right in the middle, two older and two younger. Of course, they all say I was spoiled, but I can remember having to do the dishes just like they did. And, you know, it was, you know, a good life. Everybody did everything that they had to do, and if you well, like, we lived in California at the time, and during the start of World War II, and my oldest sister Addie was had a friend at school, and they went to dances at the USO, so that the servicemen would have somebody to dance with, and that was kind of a exciting thing.
That's so cool.
And the friend that she went with, her name was Mary. And when Mary's parents passed away, and she had one aunt that she could have gone to live with, but they really didn't see eye to eye, I guess. Anyhow, she ended up living with us.
Oh, that's really cool.
And so we had another older sister. So that was a good time to be around.
Did you ever get on each other's nerves?
Oh, I don't know. It probably did. It's just, you know, but it blows over in 5 minutes. So.
Did you like school when you were a kid?
Most of it I did. Went to a Catholic school that we had to wear uniforms, and we were, the priest that founded the school was a major in the World War I, and so he figured the uniforms would, the rich kids and the poor kids would all look the same, you know.
Yeah.
We went to school with sons and daughters of movie stars and stuff like that, and had even went to school with a great, I don't know, two greats, grandson of General Pershing. And so that was kind of fun, and that we had a flag salute every day, and we marched in formation, and we had a flag raising every day, and we had our own band, and we had a lieutenant that led the line, and he'd say forward march and all that, and it was kind of fun. I met Bing Crosby's two sons. They came as a guest for our flag salute one morning, and they were going to some kind of a military school down in Hollywood.
Ooh.
And so they had their fancy uniforms on, and a big serviceman's cap and everything, and it was kind of fun, because, you know, we were, oh, it was Bing Crosby's sons, and but I got in trouble with that. I got home, mother said, well, how did you do? And I told her, well, I did something to, I don't know, to one of the Crosby boys. And she was horrified with what I told her. And of course, it took a long time to convince her I hadn't done anything. But anyhow, that's one of my memories.
Did you have any, like, school friends when you were a kid? And did you get into any sort of mischief with them?
No, not really. I don't really remember getting in trouble with anybody when I was growing up. I was kind of a peaceful person all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, well, at school, like, you meet a teacher in the hallway, or a parent, even somebody else's parent, you saluted them.
You saluted them, really?
Yeah. Good morning. And that was, you know, part of our training, is you respected your elders, and we didn't really get that excited about getting in trouble. So that I gotta say, I had a pretty peaceful school years.
Yeah. Can you tell me about what you did for your birthday when you were a kid?
Well, my sisters hated me because I wanted angel food cake with no frosting. And macaroni and tomatoes. Just macaroni.
Macaroni, like no cheese, just tomatoes?
No, just tomatoes. And they thought that was absolutely terrible. But to make it even, I had to eat what they liked on their birthdays, too.
It's oh, like so you got to choose
the
your
birthday,
meal.
You chose what you wanted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it was fun.
What was your first job?
Oh, Lordy. Newspaper delivery in Burbank, California. I delivered, there were two shopping newspaper companies there in town. One was the Valley Times and the other was the Burbank News. And he delivered them, each one, 2 days a week. And it was, the first section was local news and that. Then all the rest of the paper was advertisements for stores and grocery stores and what have you. And I had about 100-150 customers for each newspaper. Luckily, they were delivered on different days. So then my sister Ann helped me and delivered the route. And I think we got a whole, we charged 15 cents a month, and we got 10 cents of that.
Wow.
So if they had 100 customers,
cut.
You had $10. So that was basically my first job. While I was doing that, I had to get a Social Security number, which was strange because kids didn't need Social Security numbers in those days.
Yeah.
And so it was fun. Then the milkman would come around. He came every other day, and had a truck with a covered, like a pickup, only bigger, and it had a canopy over the top of it, and it had the cases of milk in the bed of the truck covered with ice. And us kids would ride on the side of the truck, and the milkman would say, 2 quarts of homogenized at such and such a house, and we'd grab the 2 quarts and run up. And down there, you had a little door in the side of the house. You opened up and put the milk indoors, because if you left it on the step, it would be hot and it would spoil before the night was over, or the day. And so that was kind of fun. And most of the time, he'd give us a half a pint of ice cream each.
Whoa, that's
for
cool.
A treat. And so that was next to another job, but we didn't get paid except for ice cream.
Hey, I'd take ice cream any day.
And it got to the point where you knew the man's delivery route and what to do and how to do it. And he came up sick one Sunday morning. And the milkman that had to take his place, excuse me, called my mom and says, "Can Billy help deliver the milk?" And so she said, "Sure, go ahead." And so I helped him because he didn't know the route, and I knew most of it. So that was kind of exciting to get called and asked if I could help.
Make you feel important.
Oh, yeah. What, 12 years old or something like that? You really feel important when you get the big people calling you.
So did you have a prom at all, like at your school?
Yes, with St. Francis High School here in Eugene, Oregon. We went to a dance down at a hotel in Eugene. I can't remember the name of it now, but it's long gone. And then we had a prom, and I think we danced there, and that was probably about, we had a good time. We had 52 people in our class, so that was back then, they were able to cut it in half, so we had 26 in each class, senior one and senior two, and everybody knew everybody, and it was fun. I still see two or three people that I went to school with. In fact, one of the people I went to grade school with ended up marrying my sister Ann. And so, you know, when you're a kid, you never think about people this old.
Yeah.
But anyhow, we still contact everybody. And then he stayed in contact with a lot of the people we went to school with down in California. And so I asked how so-and-so, well, he can usually tell me.
Yeah.
So he...
So can you tell me some of your favorite work stories from any of your jobs?
Well, one job, I got a job working for Safeway. They were going to open a new store in Springfield, and so they hired a bunch of people to train to take over the new store. And my training store was on 6th Street there, where the Red Apple is now. And the store manager's name was Barney. And he'd be working out there on the floor, putting stuff up on a end base or whatever, and he'd walk by and pat you on the shoulder and say, "Pile 'em high and watch 'em by." And I was stocking shelves one day, and all of a sudden on the public address system, Fred Banks come up to the office. Oh, what did I do now? And all the way up there, I didn't do any. Well, most of them wouldn't want to talk to me. So anyhow, I got up there, and there's the district manager, and he introduced me, and the district manager says, "Well, how would you like to play Santa Claus for us?" And, well, I was built for it. I didn't need any padding. And they were opening a new store up in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Sure, I'll go." And so they paid my Greyhound bus fare, and I stayed in the motel next door to the store, and I was to give flowers to the ladies and candies to the kids. And that was pretty exciting. So that's one of my fun things I did.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I played Santa Claus. And I think that's probably one of the highlights of my grocery store time. And then there's so many. I drove a delivery truck on the coast for 5 years and delivered restaurant goods, mayonnaise and pickles and potato chips and all that good stuff, and met a lot of people, and it was just fun meeting them and talking to them, and sometimes when I go through the countryside, the people in the stores would ask if I had any money with me, and if I did, they would give me checks that people had given them. And I'd give them cash so they wouldn't have to go to the bank. And that was a lot of bookkeeping. And sometimes I'd get to my motel and I wouldn't have any money. The motel was in Newport, Oregon, and the terrible fee was
$9. $9.
And in those days, they gave you $9 for your meals. So breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you could do on $9, and sometimes you'd have some change left over. So that was kind of fun to be helping people out when, you're going across country. And, I was usually gone from home for 3 days, and, when we were dating, if I was gonna be late, I would call her up and tell her, I won't be there at 7, I'll be there at 7:30. I was always a stickler for being there right when I'm supposed to be. And
being punctual.
Yes, and, that was, I still am kind of that way, except I just do it slower now.
So, I know that you worked at Tiny's Tavern for a long time. Do you have any, like, interesting customer stories? Customers.
Where I made my mistake is I didn't take notes. I could have written 5 books at the time. It was a place that everybody knew everybody. And we didn't allow bad language or bad actions or anything. If I could, you know, you could listen to the noise around you, and you could tell if something was starting, well, then you just go over and say, cool it down a little bit, and we'll be fine. I worked there for 31 and a half years and never had a fight in a tavern. So that was quite a record.
Yeah.
And I ended up as a manager of the place for several years. But the big year was the year that my boss went on a sabbatical, I guess you'd call it. She was traveling all over the United States. And so whatever happened is in my problem.
Yeah.
And it taught me a lot to what I had to do and what I could do and what I shouldn't do. And
yeah.
So that was quite a good experience. And everybody knew everybody. You went to everybody's funeral and everybody's weddings. And we had picnics. We had potlucks at the tavern. And it was just a real friendly atmosphere all the way around. And old people and young people would get like football, high school football referees. When they come in from the game, they'd sit down and have a bowl of chili and a couple of glasses of beer and rehash stories from what they did that night at the ball game. And that was pretty exciting. And like I say, I should have made notes because some things were quite humorous. And the old people, they knew you and they would talk to you. You know, it's pretty neat to have somebody that's 25 years older than you talk to you like a friend, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of happy memories from that. Of course, they're all dead and gone now.
Yeah. So what does your religion mean to you, and what role does it play in your life today?
Well, I would say that I was born a Catholic and went to Catholic school and Catholic high school. And we went to church every Sunday and did whatever was required. Was called on to do, and it's pretty basic, you know. You live to do what you're supposed to do, and in fact, 1963 or so, they were getting the school ready to open, and they said they needed help doing the moving the desks and what have you. And so we lived right across the street from the church there on Maxwell Road. And so Lois said I should go over and see if I could help them get ready for school. So I went over and rang the doorbell, and the priest came out and said, well, what do you want? And I said, well, help you get the school started. And he says, well, we do that at night. I said, well, I work at night. And that's when I was working as a bartender. And I said, well, I can do just about anything. And he says, can you pull weeds? I said, sure. And they had a couple huge flower beds. There was just one weed next to the other, and it was terrible. And it was hot that day, and I was out there in my hands and knees pulling weeds. And that's the first day I went to work for the church. And he was out there watching me work, and I was sweating pretty hard, but the water was just dripping off my head. And he said, would you like a Coke? So he went in and got me a big 12-ounce bottle of Pepsi-Cola and ice and all that, and it really hit the spot. And I ended up being the custodian at school after that for a couple, 2 or 3 years. You know, you clean up the school and after kids all leave, Lois would help me, and I'd have to go to work by 5 o'clock, and so I'd have to leave cleaning the school, and she'd come over and finish the job. And so we did that for 2 or 3 years. And then as when I retired, we had a program where we had firewood for poor people, and what we did is we cut firewood and sold it, and then the money that we earned from that paid for the wood that we bought, and then we gave away wood, and people were really happy to get it, because the old wood's going for, well, $90 a cord for just fur, you know, and if you were poor, you couldn't afford that, and in those days, that's all the heat you had sometimes. People couldn't afford the electric heat, and so they were happy to get the free wood. And we did that for 3 or 4 years. Oh, there's Lois. No. Anyhow, that was when I first went to work for the church, and then after we got done with the wood project, I made the mistake of telling the new priest that there was a nightlight burned out. And so a couple weeks after that, he put me on the administration council because I was so observant. And so I ended up... I ended up as kind of a maintenance man around the church, and being retired, I had all the time in the world to do whatever I had to do, and just do things like we painted the buildings and so on. And so that's how I got to be involved in working in the church. So basically, my religion is still pushing me around here.
Can you talk about a time you ever experienced doubt over your beliefs?
No, not really. Things just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we believe that, you know, that God made everything and so on. And that's just kind of a core belief that I have. The human body, everything's so intricate that and every animal's that way. And you take a leaf and look at that, and I mean, it didn't just happen. I don't know. We'll see. But I do believe in afterlife and so on.
And I think our last question, have you ever had a profound, like, spiritual thing happen to you before?
Oh, profound. I don't really know. Sometimes I, well, how did that happen? You know, why did that happen? Well, it's not going to happen by itself, so something intervened to make it go a certain way, and I believe that happens every day. I believe that in the power of prayer, I believe that you say a prayer for someone and that it helps them. You know, everything is not always yes. Sometimes the answer is no, and you got to accept that. And well, why did God make that? Well, that's the way life is, you know. That's about it.
Well, thanks so much for doing this interview with me. I learned a lot. Normally, Grandma's the one who does a lot of the talking, and it was really nice to get to know some things about you.
We're not recording, all right?